Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing broadcast, and we are pleased to have you with us. George Watkins here. We meet each Sunday night at 6 to go over some of the good things of God together, talking about what's happening a little bit around us, but mostly what's happening in that other section called the Spirit of God. And it's in that place where we put our anchor. It's in that place where we put our trust, isn't it? So welcome. Thank you for your time that you give to me to be with me, and also in your prayers. Several of you have referred to praying for me lately. I thank you for that. And all the likes and the other things you give, thank you for that. Amen. And thank you for praying for my collar that keeps popping out. Oh, my. Don't we live in exciting times? Can you believe what God is doing in the world around us? Now, remember, the scripture says, when the enemy comes in, when the enemy comes in, now I'm dealing with the punctuation, it's very important. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. We'll talk about that tonight. And I'm going to also talk about building our faith outside of the Bible. Oh, that ought to pique the interest of some people that are looking for a place to pick at. Well, I do. Let's say it again. I want to talk about, I want to give you some thoughts on building your faith outside of the Bible. Well, the scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. I believe it. I do it. I've done it all my spiritual existence, getting faith from the Bible. Okay. But let's talk about this thing that God's doing now in the world that is outside of the pages of the Bible, but it's still in his domain. And it has to do with some suddenlies that I talked about a few days ago. As I sat down to prepare for today, the Lord said, I want to talk about that just for a moment. Involuntary speech. Have you ever dealt with involuntary speech and wonder where it came from? Well, get a clue. God speaks through our mouth more than we realize. So, as I sat down to prepare for today, out of my mouth came, "Shake it up, baby." Whoa, okay. Sounds like a song or some, you know, flash to the teenage years where we were. I wasn't, but some of you all may have been dancing on the dance floor as a teenage dancer. Shake it up, baby. Okay, enough of that. I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying? He said, I want to show you what I'm doing to shake things up, and I'm shaking things up. So I went over to Hebrews. Of course, that's one of the references for shaking. And it's in the 27th verse of the 12th chapter. Let me read it out of the Amplified. And let's talk about building our faith outside of the pages of the Bible. Now, I'm doing this for emphasis. Not that I'm disagreeing or not believing or not loving the Word of God in the Bible. But I'm hearing more and more in my spirit, and I'm talking about it more and more, that the Word of God is contained in His Spirit, and in His Spirit is contained in you, and you can speak the Word of God vocally and in action. Amen. Okay, 27. Now, this expression, yet once more indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what he's talking about here is the kingdom of God. Not just talking about governments and politicians and our present time. I want to talk about that in a moment, our present time. But he's talking about everything that had been created. Everything that had been created was being shaken, so that the new order that had come when Jesus died, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, came back to the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost. That was the establishment of the kingdom on earth when he came to live in hearts of men and women. Now, just as a reminder, the kingdom of God is not coming in some future mysterious day. The kingdom of God came when Jesus finished it. He said it was finished on the cross. He finished the Adamic covenant. Then he went and sealed the New Testament covenant, one that you and I live under, the new contract. He sealed it with the Father when he presented his blood before the Father. And then he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit and invaded the bodies of those disciples, because the scripture says that he left the Holy of Holies when the veil was rent in twain, as the King James says, tore in two, common English, from top to bottom. Spirit of God left that temple and went and dwelt in temples made without hands. Now, you and I are temples made without hands. As a side note, just think of how precious and how perfect we are. Back in the Old Testament, when they built Solomon's temple, David collected piles and stacks of gold in the backyard. I mean, they gathered gold and silver all of David's career, and he was not worthy to build it because he was a bloody man. Remember that. He had too many killings in his history. So God said, you're not going to build it. Your son's going to build it. Well, he gathered the precious gold and silver, and they built a perfect temple. Why? Because God was going to come and dwell in that temple. Then, in the conclusion of that temple, when it was finished, the veil tore, Jesus rose from the dead, the Spirit of God left, went into the hearts of men and women. Now, you and I then are so perfectly formed. God orchestrated our constitution, our physiology, our whole structure, so he could live in a temple that was perfect. Oh, my goodness. I'm sidetracking myself here, but I'm thinking about all the dysfunctional souls that are around us today that are trying to perfect their bodies through all kinds of attachments and all kinds of reforming and everything from skin to clothes. I mean, you know, and jobs and careers and money and stuff, just so they can try to perfect what God has already perfected. He came to dwell in the hearts of men and women. Okay, back to the thought. Now, the kingdom of God came then when Jesus entered in back into, by the Holy Spirit, back into the hearts of men and women. This is what this scripture is talking about. Everything that could be shaken was shaken, so that the only thing that remains is the kingdom of God. All right, the argument or the discussion, counter discussion, would be, well, okay, preacher, that's going to be in the end times when nothing else is here but the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God is here, and it is the ruling factor. It is the ruling factor. Aha, Wait a minute now. Look at all the things that are ruling: the government, the White House, Russia, you know, the pandemic, the economy. All those things are manipulated and ruling. No, they're not. They're screaming because they're being shaken. They are screaming out in pain because God is shaking them to the core. The kingdom of God is in control, whether we know it or believe it or recognize it. God said that all things that would be shaken, so that the only thing that remains is the kingdom of God. I believe, my understanding is, and my confidence is, and I work out of this prism and out of this belief that the kingdom was settled and secured. And we are the outcropping of it, and we are the manifestation of it, and we are the continuation of that kingdom. Every time we preach and pray and love and give and be who we are expressing the kingdom of God. Not the one that may come in the mysterious future, the mystical future, in someday, in the sweet by and by, my home in the sky and all that. I believe in heaven. I believe in eternity. I believe in the coming of the Lord. I believe it's that it is established scripturally that he's coming again, but not Thursday, and he's not going to come by Monday. He's establishing his creation, and then he comes. Well, I'm not teaching on the kingdom tonight, but I want you to understand our foundation is not based on something that's coming, but it's something that's here, because he establishes his kingdom. Shake it up, baby. That's what God told me today. Now, how can my faith then be built outside of the Bible? Okay, listen to what Paul says, just as a little caveat here. He said, even nature speaks of God. Whoa, you mean I can see nature in some form and my faith will be built in God? Now remember, the scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Okay, that's faith building. I mean, that's God stuff. So if I see nature in some form, somehow I look at creation, I look at the stars, I look at the moon, the sun, I look at all the movement around me, and I see God in that, that builds faith in me. Okay, that's outside of the pages and the ink of the Bible. Now don't run off the dock with me here. I am not discounting or exiting or, you know, cutting off anything to do with my precious leather-bound Bible that I love, all of them. And I've got too many of them, really. Got the old ones I started preaching with when I was a teenager, still in the shelf. A little worn out, but they're there. Now, why are they there? Because I see, when I open those up, I can see some of my notes in there, and it builds my faith. I remember a revelation. I keep them as a catalog, actually. Now, all right. Shake it up, baby. God is on course. He's on course. In other words, he's on the move now, and he's on target, and things are being shaken up. Look at the world scene. Look at the scene around us in economy. Look at the threats coming out of the White House and politics. Look at all the fear that comes pumping out like giant, sewer spouts into our life. This is going to happen. Tomorrow this is going to happen. Fear this, fear that. They're shaken to the core till they're doing crazy stuff trying to catch a hold of control again. Why? Because the kingdom of God is alive and shaking things up. Now, testimony. Think of testimonies. Testimonies are outside of the pages of your Bible.
No.
I realize that everything we do lines up with the Word of God. We're not doing things outside of the perimeters of what we know to be truth. But the truth is that God's personality, which is His Word, and His character is His Word, is expanding. And even though we read the book, you don't know what it is until you have revelation, and that's expanding. Revelation is what you know. Mysteries are what you don't know. So there's mysteries in the Bible. I read off to you, I had a list of them here in my Bible somewhere, the 9 mysteries of the Bible, things that still need to be revealed to us as we read. Amen. All right. Children of Israel, crossing the Red Sea. That's in the Bible. But it wasn't in the book then. It was part of their lifestyle. We read it and we get faith from it. But they walked it out. And then what happened? Listen to this. This is good. What happened in their exploits when they won battles, when they crossed the sea, when they had conquered all the cities, you know, in Canaan and all that? They would build pillars or stacks of rocks, kind of like a cheap statue. So when they go by, they're on the way to the store. Old Saul and his 16 kids are on the way to town. And as he goes by, he says, "Kids, look at that stack of rocks over there. That's where we defeated the Philistines. God gave us victory." Now, what does that do? That builds faith. So a testimony builds faith, doesn't it? Now, I look in the scriptures and I see stories of angelic deliverance. 185,000 people killed, Sennacherib wiped out in one night by one angel. Oh boy, that builds my faith. But wait. Outside of the Bible, look at the miracle of Dunkirk, 1940, May of 1940. Germany's coming into France. They crossed the line that France had built there to stop them. England goes over. We haven't entered yet. We didn't enter the war until December of 1940, when the Japanese invaded or bombed Pearl Harbor. England goes over after being bombed for days and days, the Blitzkrieg, the bombing of London. And they fight against the Germans, but the Germans rout them, push them even through Belgium and so forth, push them to the sea. And there was 350,000 Frenchmen and Englishmen trapped in Dunkirk, nowhere to go. And they were just about ready to get wiped out by the Luftwaffe. Now listen to this. On May the 26th, the Luftwaffe somehow rescinded the order to bomb and strafe and kill those 350,000 men that were crowded down by the sea. Nowhere to go. They were stopped. If that had happened, Germany would have won. England would have been captured and so forth. But somehow, by the shaking of God and by the sudden appearance of God's deliverance, they rescinded the order for the Luftwaffe to come in and kill and strafe and bomb. In the next 7 or 8 days or 10 days, there were 350,000 men rescued off that beach, and there were 800 vessels. Most of them were small little boats, fishing boats and so forth, that came over from England to help shuttle the men off the beach onto the main boats, and some of them even took them across the channel. Now, that was an act of God just as wonderful and just as miraculous as Sennacherib in the Old Testament when one angel killed 185,000 men at night. That's the kind of stuff that builds our faith that is outside of the pages of the Bible, but it's found its core truth in the Bible, that God has a suddenly and God has a way to shake things up. I believe that because the kingdom has been established in the conclusion of the New Testament through the book of Acts and so forth, and the epistles, we find the anchor of that. The kingdom's been established so that we live out of the kingdom, not toward the kingdom. We're not waiting for the day when Jesus will rule. And I know. I wanted to be the sheriff of Nottingham when the new world comes. Oh, that's a teenage dream. You know, that's the flesh dream. That's you and I wanting to rule somebody. No, we are in dominance now. How do you think prayer operates? If we don't have domination and rule, what is prayer for? Is it some kind of wish list that we can just keep hoping and praying? And if we pray long enough, it's like throwing rocks on the scales. You know, eventually we might get somewhere. No. Prayer says, if you ask, I will answer. What you decree will come to pass. Two or three gathered together in my name, you'll agree together. What you ask comes about. That's not just, as we used to say, tomfoolery. That's an old statement. It's not just goofing off. It's not hoping for the best. That is doing the work of the kingdom on earth. When he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and when you do, they will be converted. You cast the devils out, heal the sick, and so forth. That's not maybe so. That's kingdom authority, because we have a king who sits on the throne, and we are his ambassadors bringing that kingdom to earth. So when the scripture says, as it is in heaven, so shall it be in earth, is not a future date. It's not something we're hoping for someday. And God says, shake it up, baby. He means get a hold of the power of the Holy Ghost and know that you are standing in faith today, not hoping for Jesus to return so you can go to heaven and have peace. Death is not your savior. Jesus is. You're not healed when you die. You're healed because he went to the cross. You're not forgiven, you know, because you sacrifice your own blood. He gave his blood that you might be forgiven. So, look at that. Look at the Cuban Missile Crisis. Back when some of you weren't alive yet, but back in the 60s, when Kennedy was in office. The Cuban Missile Crisis came one man away from an atomic exchange. The Russians were getting ready to let loose atomic weapons. And one Russian captain voted no, and it stopped it. One Russian captain, God got a hold of his heart, turned his head, turned his neck, as they say, and stopped an atomic attack on the American soil. Do you think God can do that? I think God does it all the time, more than we know. Only eternity will tell us of these times. Look at Rees Howells. Rees Howells was an intercessor. If you've not read his biography, you're missing a huge slice of miracle stuff out of the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s in Wales. He was a man that knew how to pray and intercede. And in the latter part of his years during the war, the Second World War, he had built a Bible school and had a gathering of students. And through that Second World War, they would get a word from the Lord to pray for a certain town, a certain section. They'd go to the map. God would tell them where to pray for. And they would intercede through those days until they would listen on the radio to the victory that took place at that time, in that space, because God gave them a direction and gave them an answer. And they prayed, the kingdom power changed the course of that. We've talked about in our broad history, when the Armada came up to take England from the the Middle East and the Arabs out of that kingdom that was trying to take Europe, and the fog came in and they couldn't find their way, had to go back, stuff like that. I love the story of the Knights of Malta. There was a group of knights. Now, in those days, the knights were wealthy because they somehow accumulated wealth. But the armament on the knight and the horse was worth more than someone made in a lifetime. So they gathered together and they decided to stop the attack, the invasion from Africa coming up, the Muslims and the Islam group. They fought and they fought and they fought, and they fought off of the Isle of Malta. And they stopped the invasion. There was a long history story. If you haven't read it, Rick Joyner put together a great book, and he's detailed a lot of the miracles. But the miracle of God for just a few hundred of those knights that stopped 70,000 and 80,000 warriors and ships and hundreds and hundreds of ships. That's the kind of thing that you and I need to remember outside of the pages of the Bible that builds our faith that God knows how to shake up history. Amen. Now, it's all anchored in the Word, but you and I need to have a testimony in our own tool bag. We can pull it out and say, hey, I prayed for my son the other night, and he was healed. Hey, I believe God for a new job, and I tell you, God gave me this wonderful job. Those are current, everyday faith builders, because God is speaking through you in your testimony the very essence of what God is, and that is if he is faithful to do what he has said he would do. So when he said to me today, shake it up, baby. I'm shaking it up. I'm shaking your faith. I'm not destroying it. I'm shaking it so that it will be firm on the foundation of his word. Now, that 28th verse in Hebrews in the Amplified says, let us therefore receive a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken. So everything that is shaken can be shaken. He said, let us receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. How about it? What's your faith built on? Are you building your faith on what you hear around you? Or are you building your faith out of the Word of God on things that you see God doing in your life and the life of those around you also? Amen. As a young preacher, my dad was my first and probably my greatest mentor in the details of preaching. But he said, son, don't tell them what you think. Tell them what you believe. So in the early days, I preached his sermons and Oral Roberts' sermons. Now, I obviously didn't do quite the job they did. I remember I'd get to a note that Dad wrote on his sermons, and it said, man on the train. Well, I didn't know what the man on the train was, but he did. And when that testimony was exploded, you know, and multiplied, or at least expanded, the man on the train would have been someone he met and he talked to and he was converted or healed. But to me, it wasn't a testimony yet. I had to have my own testimonies, and I had to grow in faith and grow in experience until when I got up to preach, I said, I believe, because this is what happened to me. I know. I've seen it. I've touched it. How about those in the New Testament when they handled and they touched and they felt and they put their hand in the wound? Remember, Jesus said, here, touch me, handle me. This is what it is. They went away with a personal testimony of having been exposed to the wounds and the touch of Jesus. I'm encouraging. I'm probably shouting at you today, but at least I want you to feel the passion of God to have an experience where you know that you've been in his presence. You can read the Bible all day long, and it can be a history book, a poetry book. It can be just a collection of writings, unless you know the author of that book. There's an old story, I'll probably butcher it, but I'll remember a little bit of it, about the girl who picked up a book and read it. This is a secular novel of some kind, and read it, didn't mean much until she met the man one day that wrote the book, and she fell in love with him. And then she went back and read the book again, and it just was a whole nother experience. That's just a little picture of when you meet the man who wrote the book, the Bible becomes a whole nother experience. And that's not just salvation. That's an ongoing relationship with a personal God who has invited us to come in and fellowship with him, partake of his presence every day of our life, and even at night when you're sleeping. Some of those night visions when he comes in your dreams and talks to you about his purpose and presence and love for you and his and the destiny he has for you. The suddenlies of God, the shaking of God. And it's going on all around us. I'm telling you, you're looking at things in the nations. You're looking at things in the economy. Oh, my goodness. Some of these economic high towers and monster businesses, God knows how to shake them to the core. They're built on doublespeak and phony stuff. Look at Twitter and Elon Musk. He's moved in there. What he's done in the last couple of days, he's exposing just how much there is of lies. We call them bots, fake people on Twitter. Now, how did that happen? God orchestrated something for a man to come in like Elon Musk and expose that Twitter is a fake sewer. Fake people on there. I remember Rush Limbaugh was saying when he was attacked and all of his sponsors were getting tens of thousands of Twitters, people saying, oh, we're not going to shop at your place anymore. And Limbaugh put the money out to investigate, and there were 10 people behind it all the fake Twitters and all the fake people out there saying they were going to do this and do that. God's shaking that down to its core. We're going to see some political and financial things shaken, but God's kingdom will not fail. And in God's kingdom, he said, I will supply all your needs. And in God's kingdom, I will heal your bodies. They're trying to put together a cobble of nations and give authority to other nations to rule our nation through the World Health Organization. Give them authority to tell us if we can leave our house. Like China has locked up millions of people in their apartments and they cannot leave their apartments. They want to give that authority to someone else. Now, that's scary to the soul, but because the spirit is anchored in the kingdom, I've got confidence that God has an angel out there that's going to take out Sennacherib in one night. He knows how to shake the kingdom. Shake it up, baby. Amen. Well, Sunday night's a good time just to, as my dad would say, pontificate upon the goodness of the Lord. Love you guys. Love you gals. I love those that I know are out there, and I love those that I don't know are out there. So let me know you're there so I can put some love towards you and prayers. Amen. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't. That's a big help. And hit the little bell there. It'll tell you we're coming back on. Thumbs up. Like us on Facebook. Give us a comment. That helps. And my caller's still getting out, so we have to be in control there. Don't forget, we're on every morning early. You can tune in and get a barb from the Holy Ghost. Just a poke. Hey, get with it. It's a good day to be alive. Don't forget, if God's nudging you, to send us a support offering right down there in PayPal, or the address is there, and snail mail still works. Thank you for that. Several of you are doing that on a regular basis, and even once in a while, some of you are doing it. We really is a big help to us. Until tomorrow morning now, and next Sunday at 6 o'clock, we'll be here talking about the good things. Now, before we leave, let's remember, I believe in the Bible, but God says your faith can be built outside when you see the nature of God in other things, including, as Paul said, the stars, the nature around you, and then the testimony of things that have gone on in your world and the world of others you know about. When you talk about those things, faith is built because the kingdom of God has been established, and that's why it works. Until tomorrow morning, God bless. We will see you then. Until then, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't forget to be an overcomer in all that you do because God lives in you of a truth.